All right, so we'll go ahead and get started this morning. I'm going to come out of this gloves and hat. I will, I promise. I do apologize for the cold today. It is a whopping 4 degrees in here. Heat did not come on this morning. And Lord willing, it will be on for this evening's service, but it is quite cold. I realize that for everyone. And so with that said, I won't go a long time today. Just being understanding where everyone is, we'll get finished today. But this is going to be the introduction, if you will, to the intro to the Bible. Intro to the Bible is where we're going to be. And so that's going to be what we're looking at in our morning lessons here for the next several weeks. And a couple of, a few months. So we'll run the gamut with it. We'll see how long it takes and how much we can get into it without what I like to say, burning the bridges and running dry. You're not going to run dry on the information of the Bible by any means, but at the same time, I want to make sure we don't repeat ourselves in our lessons. And we really have four topics to go over totally when it comes to learning about the Word of God, when it comes to learning about the intro to the Bible. And so real quick this morning, I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to get into this today. And give you the purpose of why we're having this class and why we're teaching, especially in the front end of the year. I think it's a great lesson to start with in the front end of the year. So let's bow our heads and open our Bible study this morning in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for who and what you are. We pray that the cold weather will not be a distraction to us, Lord. We ask for your help, your mercy, your grace. And I do ask you now to please watch over us. Give us the direction that we need to better and best serve you. But Father, I pray that everything done and said will be done to your glory, your honor today. And I just, again, Father, realize it's cold, but help us look past the physical distractions, and help me use wisdom, dear Lord, and time management today, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. So the purpose, guys, of having a class called, if you will, Intro to the Bible, is that really, truly, most Christians understand the Bible they hold in their hands is the inspired Word of God, okay? Most people understand that. Most people believe that. I'm saying most Christians, especially within our ranks, they believe that. Yet very few have a general understanding of the origin of the Bible or why they believe it as the inspired Word of God. I got to be honest, it's not good enough just to say, well, because my preacher told me that it's inspired Word of God, it's why I believe it. So, I appreciate that, and I'm never going to willingly lead anyone astray in my teaching. I make sure that I answer Scripture with Scripture, and I make sure that I do my due diligence to double-check my double checks. However, you need to know why you believe the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. So the purpose of this lesson that we're going to give is to show the Bible students, if you will, and that's what you would be, the Christian, how the Bible came to be and why it can be accepted as the inerrant, authoritative, pure, preserved, inspired Word of God. So why do we have this class like this, guys? Well, the first thing we need to know, the first thing I want to teach this class is so that you have the knowledge, that you have the knowledge. Now, I understand that we have a group amongst our ranks today that they kind of frown upon knowledge. They don't think knowledge is necessarily important, which I don't understand, because if we claim the Bible is the Word of God, we should have a basic understanding of how it came to be. Guys, did you know that the word knowledge occurs in the Bible 172 times? That's more times than the word grace, which occurs 107 times. That's more times than the word believe, which occurs 143 times. It's more times than the word inspiration. All right, it only occurs two times, once in the New Testament, once in the Old Testament. But that's a word that everybody hangs their hat on, and why they believe the Word of God, that it is inspired, and it is, and we'll get into that in our lessons. It's more times than the word trust, 134 times trust shows up. Or trusteth, if you will, which is only 17 times. All of these words that I just mentioned here a moment ago, all of these words we use to express our position, okay, of the Bible and of Jesus Christ. We trust Him. We believe in His grace. We're saved by grace through faith, okay? We believe it's inspired. All of these things. However, the word knowledge occurs more times than all of those words. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Guys, we need to increase in the knowledge of God. How are you going to increase in the knowledge of God? by studying and learning and spending time in the Word of God, in the Word of God. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. I was looking over my scripture writing today, it was in 2 Peter. And you get in there to verse 5 through 11, and you get this list. You get this list. I preached on this, you know, several times. One of the sermons that I preached years back was called Simple Addition. And Peter speaks of, and again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he speaks about adding to your faith virtue. Then he goes on this list of adding this, adding unto this knowledge, adding to this patience, and patience, brotherly kindness. It goes through this whole entire list, and charity, that you're adding to your faith. Beloved, faith is the foundation of salvation. Okay, that's what the faith, that's where we build upon growing as a Christian. I believe that our salvation, our conversion, should always remain fresh in our hearts and our mind. It should always remain fresh there, because otherwise you get complacent. And we all believe in eternal security. It's a true teaching of the Word of God. You heard me kind of hammer that if you watched the devotion yesterday morning that went out online. So we believe in eternal security. The Scripture teaches eternal security. But human nature will have a tendency to rest back on its lees if you're not careful. Because if you don't grow in that grace and grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. And so guys, one of the reasons that we need a class such as like this or a lesson like this is to gain the knowledge of the Word of God. Secondly, guys, I believe we ought to be able to defend the Scripture, defend our position and our stance on the Word of God. Now, when I say defend, I don't necessarily mean debate or argue or be controversial or be confrontational. I don't mean those things at all. But you got to be able to defend what you believe in, okay? Again, Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now you say, well, preacher, hang on a second. That is pertaining to giving people an answer of why you're saved, how to get saved and born again, how to go to heaven, how to get forgiveness of sins. You're exactly right. Where do you get that information? From the Word of God. Romans 10:17. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you understand that today? So we need to be able to defend. Christians should be able to explain intelligently the basis of the Christian faith. What we believe and why we believe it. It certainly would include our trust, our dependence, our faith in the Bible. Which brings us to that point number three. Knowledge, defense, or to defend. And dependence. I mentioned dependence just a moment ago. A study, guys, on how we got our Bible will give you a greater confidence in the Bible that you hold in your hands, that it is the pure, preserved, perfect Word of God. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. It's not going to make the Bible any better. You can't improve on perfection. But it's going to improve your knowledge of the Word of God. It's going to improve your dependence upon it. When you begin to find out that within these pages right here, that God has preserved, that He has clearly preserved and purified for us today the cleanest portion of His perfect Word that we, and when I say clean, I don't mean that it was ever dirty. I mean that it's able to be seen. Do you understand? Through our hearts and our minds today. That's how we have our Bible before us. So a study on how we got our Bible, guys, can be summarized into four main sections. Now, most authors, most students, most teachers of this particular topic, they conclude that there are four positions. We're going to go over all four of those. I'm going to tell you those four. You don't have to try to write them down right now. They'll be on the screen here in just a moment. But those four are inspiration, canonization, transmission, and translation. So when we want to look at a proper study of how we got our Bible, these are the four areas that most teachers, most instructors or professors or even students will begin to look at about how we got our Bible. And that's what we're going to look at here within the Word of God itself. So when we look at inspiration, all right, the first link in the chain of revelation is inspiration. Inspiration deals with what God did, namely, and you can write this down, the giving of the Scriptures. The giving of the Scriptures. Now, I understand somebody in the back of their mind or someone listening to this, first thing they're thinking, but the word inspired means God breathed, okay? And I get that. I understand that. But more biblically accurate definition is going to be God gave. Whether he through breath, through whatever he did, he gave the scriptures. And we need to understand that today. You need to understand that clearly when we look at inspiration. Inspiration is what gives the Bible its authority, because it solely rests on who has given the word. Okay? That's what the key is. That's the first link in the chain of revelation, because it's only going to be as good as the person that has given it. All right? When you look at a pound note or a U.S. dollar note or whatever, that dollar or that pound or that euro, it is only good as to what is backing it. All right? So when we look at our 20-pound note here, if we don't have the silver in our country's account and in our bank somewhere backing that 20-pound note, it's not worth 20 pounds, if you understand what I'm saying. Well, your word, the word of God today is the word of God. Its authority is there, not because we say that it is, but because of who has given it. And that's where inspiration comes into play. It solely rests on who has given the word. Secondly, we find is canonization. Second link is canonization, which deals with how the inspired books of God came to be recognized as holy scripture. Inspiration tells us how the Bible received its authority. Canonization tells us how these books came to be accepted by man, all right, by mankind. That's what canonization does when you begin to look at how we got our Bible. All right, and again, don't confuse that with the authority of the Word of God is because the Word of God was canonized. No, the authority of the Word of God still rests in the inspiration in the ultimate author. The author is the Lord God himself, the author and finisher of our faith, as we read in Hebrews chapter 12. The third link we look at is transmission. Transmission, that's not something that's in your car, although you could probably illustrate the two. So the third link is transmission, which deals with how the original autographs of the Bible were copied, whether these copies are accurate and precise copies of the original. Remember, with a carbon copy of the inspired written word, the same inspiration is preserved within these words as the words which contain the inspiration. Does that make sense to you? So, the original author, person penning, God moved upon Paul. He began to write a letter to Timothy, and he was inspired. He wrote exactly what God wanted him to write. Not what he wanted to write, but what God wanted him to write. Therefore, the words are inspired as written down by the Apostle Paul. Those same words were identically carbon copied by the hand of someone else. Therefore, the second person that's copying that, okay, let's say they're copying it from Greek to Greek, all right, the second person copying that was not inspired, but the words he's copied are inspired, and therefore the inspiration is preserved in the copy, okay? Keep in mind, understand that clearly. People will argue that point, but people are stupid, okay? And I'm not trying to be arrogant on that, but most people relieve all doubt of their stupidity when they argue this point right here, because they say, well, bless God, you know, those copies aren't inspired. Well, Jesus Christ said today, scripture has been fulfilled in your ears after he read a copy of Isaiah 53. He wasn't really reading the original autograph. And for that matter, if you go to the book of Jeremiah, you find out that Baruch, when he had penned the words that God had gave Jeremiah, they read them before the king Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim took a penknife, cut it up, threw it in the fire, and burned it. You know what God said? Take thee out another roll. Write all the words that you wrote in there a moment ago and add thereunto these words. Well, which one's inspired? Whatever God gave is inspired. You understand? So transmission is that third link. And God protects those things. God preserves his inspiration within his words. It's not the man's finger. It's not the person copying them. It's that which is written from here to here. Now, what if somebody sits down and they begin, like we're doing our scripture writing deal today. I don't by any means think when I'm over at the house or in the office and I'm doing my scripture writing challenge each day, I don't think that I'm inspired, but God's not moving upon me. I have the free will to use an abbreviation if I want to, which is a great challenge for me, because I think I've actually written the actual word with, W-I-T-H, probably four times in the last 25 years. I use a medical abbreviation, which is a C with a line above it, all the time. And I do it without even thinking anymore. And that's what another thing that's been good for me in this scripture writing challenge is that I'm actually writing the word with, okay? And guys, you know my handwriting. It's atrocious. I got the worst handwriting on the planet, and I get that. But this has been good. There's no inspiration in me writing on that pencil. God's not moving my hand. I'm writing it, okay? But the words that I'm writing down are the inspired words. You understand? A copy of a copy of a copy. The preservation is in the words itself. When man tries to change them, the inspiration is lost. Make sense? Cool. So the fourth one that we see, the fourth link is translation, which I know a lot of people hang their hat on and believe they are smart as God and they can do this and that and this and that. But the fourth link is translation, and it discusses the translation of the Bible into other languages and whether the Bible in our language accurately reflects what the Hebrew and the Greek manuscripts said. The Bible is the most inclusive of all avenues of special supernatural revelation, all right? God is very clear in how this process has happened. Even if during said process, men did not know nor understand the burden that was placed upon them in its complete natural progression, God knows and God controlled that. I'm not saying he controls all of them. We're going to get into this in the weeks to come, showing you how God's hand was involved in the translation works, okay? And as they went down the line of progression to give us what we have today. Now, let's make it crystal clear. Anything that came from the Alexandrian manuscripts, the Codex Vaticanus, the Codex Sinaiticus has zero inspiration in it. It is garbage, okay? You may read someone say, the older and better manuscript. No, listen, they are not older and they're not better. You understand? The Textus Receptus, which means receive text, all right, is what your AV 1611 came from. We're on the seventh English translation from that Textus Receptus today in the King James Bible or the AV 1611. And God's done with all that. He's done with the translation work when it comes to his preserved, purified, perfect Word of God. You may say, well, preacher, does that mean other languages don't have the pure, perfect Word of God? That's exactly what that means. That may upset some people. That's exactly what that means. We have to look at this thing through the scope of God's eyes. God gave other countries in this world opportunities and chances, okay, to have his word. He gave Germany an opportunity and chance to have his word. He gave other nations opportunity and chance, and they reneged on it. They didn't follow what God had in store for them. God chose this great land here to bring his work through to make the greatest work this world has ever seen, the preservation that God promised to do. It's not our job to preserve his word. He's going to protect his word forever, oh Lord, that word is settled in heaven. We'll see that here in just a second. That's his job to do. That's what we have to understand within these four premises, being the inspiration, canonization, transmission, and translation. We got to keep in mind what is God's duty and what is our duty, okay? What is our job and what is God's job? Just like soul winning. We talked about soul winning for several weeks, a couple months. Our job is to plant the seeds. Our job is to water the seeds. Our job is not to save someone. God bringeth the increase, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's his job. And that's where men today in both arenas, that of the Word of God and that of salvation, have flipped their duties. They've said, you know what? I want to be the one. So let me create this soul winning 101. Let me put my foot in the door and not allow them to shut the door on me and force them into making a decision. That ain't salvation, amen. Let God do his job. Don't get in the way. Don't interfere with the Lord and the Holy Spirit's work. And you may say, well, preacher, you know, God's almighty. He's all powerful. How can we interfere? The Bible tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can push him aside. And we've got to be careful doing that, guys. So we've got to understand, when we begin to learn about the intro to the Bible, we begin to learn why we have our Bible, how we received our Bible. We need to know clearly what our job is and what the job of God's is. Now, that doesn't mean that other languages can't have a a good translation. Don't take that wrong, okay? I believe they can get as close as they can get in today's world, all right, in today's time. But God has preserved that word right here. We can get it as close as we can. We need to remember that. And I do believe, in all my opinion, I believe that that's something that we should strive for, okay? Even the pagans, guys, when you go back and you look in the book of Esther, when Haman came up with his wicked and vile plan to destroy all of Israel, notices were sent out, all the Jews, notices were sent out to every province and in every tongue. And then when that thing was pulled back, when Haman was exposed and hanged on the gallows, King Ahasuerus, what did he do? They sent out the halting that was going to occur on the 9th of Av, the halting of this death sentence upon the Jews, okay? And they put it out in every nation, every province, and every tongue. So that, I think it's important that the translation work continue forward. We just got to remember what our duty is. So the authenticity and the authority of the Bible is the foundation of Christianity. The authenticity and the authority of the Bible is the foundation of Christianity. It is our floor plan, our blueprint. It is our guide. As a Baptist, guys, we know that the Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. That is the first principle in Christian doctrine, going all the way back to the very beginning of the very first church. It is our sole authority. We need to understand that. So, just by way of introduction, I'm watching my clock here. I'm going to spend 5 to 6 more minutes, and then we're going to stop where we are today just because I want to be considerate of the fact that it is 4 degrees in here. And I can't feel my fingers. I don't know about you, but I have to take my gloves off, so I can't work this. Anyway, the authenticity, again, and the authority of the Bible is the foundation of Christianity. The Scriptures, guys, the Scriptures existed completely in the mind of God before being given to men to write them down. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Eternity past, eternity future, okay? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So the Scriptures existed completely in the mind of God before it was ever given to man to write down. Psalm 119, verse 152, "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." Founded them forever. Eternity never stops. God dwells outside of the realm of time. He is in eternity now, which eternity has no beginning nor end. And because of that, my friend, his word is there with him at all times. Acts chapter 15 and verse 18. Bible says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." The beginning of the world. God is omniscient, guys. We went over this. We've talked about this a multitude of times. And so we know that he is omniscient. He knows all things. Good illustration is found in Hebrews chapter 8. We'll look at this in a second. But the tabernacle and its furniture were copied precisely after a heavenly pattern. We know that to be true. Hebrews chapter 8 and verses 1 through 5. And you can write that down if you want to. I don't know if it's too small on the screen. But now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have someone also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou maketh all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So the tabernacle was in a precise, exact copy of the tabernacle that is in heaven. I'll stop there just for a second. I'm going to give you one more point, one more topic and verse, and maybe I'll give you two more because I can do that with less than a minute. Remember in Jonah, when Jonah was swallowed by the whale and he went down to the heart of the earth, all right? And we know the real story of Jonah. We'll go that in here right now, and we understand clearly what it means and what it's saying. But it says he turned toward the temple. Well, what temple do you think he turned toward? I can go ahead and tell you this. He didn't have a compass with him, because we know that he went to the heart of the earth. We know that he is the only sign given to Israel of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died and went to the heart of the earth. Jonah died, went to the heart of the earth. And yet Jonah turned toward the temple. Where would it have been? Not in Jerusalem, but in heaven. The precise, precise original of what that which was copied on earth was given. The crucifixion of Christ and the various types concerning the death of Christ were planned even before the slaying of the innocent animals in Genesis. So well before the law, we find that Jesus Christ was planned before then. Revelation 13:8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Okay, why is that? Because of the omniscience of God. Because of the omniscience of God. And we need to understand that today and make it quite clear in our hearts and our minds. So lastly this morning, this is what I'll say. Lastly, and I'll be done. The Bible writers, and listen carefully to this, the Bible writers were conditioned and prepared ahead of time to utter exactly the words of God and at the same time express the testimony and the personality of the individual writers, okay? Now see, we've talked about this on several occasions, especially like concerning Luke, because the word, because Luke, in his writing, he uses the word certain in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts more than any other writer. God was using their individual personalities, their individual testimonies to express the testimonies with their individual personalities. Isaiah chapter 49 tells us this, verses 1 through 5, says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God." Verse 5. "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." So the individual testimonies and personalities of the individual writers were conditioned and prepared ahead of time to say the exact words that God would have them to say. Okay? Even though he was using their individual characteristics, even before they were ever formed, even before they were ever brought forth in this world today, they were being conditioned and prepared to be the writers of what we have today, the precious Word of God. So let's bow our heads this morning, guys, when we dismiss from our morning service. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for all that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to have Bible study this morning. I pray, dear God, that you'd allow us to have a wonderful afternoon. Help us get warm. And I pray that we have a great service tonight, Lord. I ask you, Father, as we take a step forward in worshiping this evening, that you would be a blessing to our heart and our mind. Pray that you would ever so much draw closer to each and every one of us. We pray that you please prepare our hearts and souls, Lord, for that which we'll hear this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. Well, I do hope and pray that God was good to you this morning, guys. Again, I do apologize for the cold. Hopefully, Lord willing, it'll be a different story tonight. We'll have the heat kicking on around 3 o'clock this afternoon and at least knock off some of this chill in here. And so we'll have a good service tonight. Looking forward to being back tonight. Guys, just to let you know, Wednesday night, I know we've as a rule, we've always done a Bible study in the morning and in the evening. I'm making a little bit of a change with our Wednesday evening services now. I'm going to preach a little bit more, so it's going to be more of a preaching sermon tonight. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us. Let's be back in our place this evening at 6 p.m., and we'll get into our Wednesday evening service tonight. Amen. All right, guys, you're dismissed. Thank you so much. Lord bless you all.